All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. How'd you like to be breathed on by God today? He's going to do that. He's going to open up the Bible. He's going to speak to you out of the book that he wrote. That's so good. What's the name of our series, by the way?
The Word.
Say that with me. The Word. We've got a powerful book in our hands. And in order to be one of these, a disciple, you need to read that Word. And so when you hear something today, do not merely just listen to the Word so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Don't just hear it. Obey it.
The Word.
Oh, what in the world is our story going to be about today? Well, if you want to be a disciple, and you want to study the Word, which I think helps us to be a strong disciple, then I got a story for you. It's found in the Old Testament. The series, The Word, continues. Seeing Jesus through the stories of the Old Testament. If you've got a Bible right over there, Brett, what page are you?
45.
Page 45 in the blue Bible, if you're going to get it today. That's a Pew Bible, those blue ones. And the story I'm going to mention is Exodus chapter 8. It's found in Exodus chapter 8. Quiz time. Now, I grew up in church again, but I'm going to keep my answer to myself. If you grew up in church, you know what this is. And if you don't, you get to learn a story today. Say, oh, not bad if I don't know. No, hey, you got to be somewhere. What is this story right here? This man looks like he's doing something to a doorpost. Maybe I'll give you another picture. How about this one? Same thing. He's taking a little hyssop branch. He's dipping it in something and putting it around the door. What is that?
Blood.
It's blood. What's the blood there for?
Sacrifice.
It's... Now look in Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, the very first Passover. We're going to mention that today. But look in Exodus chapter 8. Before I get to the Passover, you say, the Passover is where they kill the lamb, and God had told them to put blood on the doorpost for a certain reason. I'm going to tell you what that reason is today. But what brought us to the first Passover? Well, that was the 10th plague happening that night. And the death angel was about to do what to some of the houses? Passover. So the death angel is going to pass over a house. But how did we ever get to the 10th plague, and what is it? Well, just to sort of jog your memory, I won't cover all 10 of them. Let me begin with those plagues. Check this thing out, and I'll show you. There are 10 plagues. Passing over the plagues, it's in Exodus chapter 8. First of all, there were some things happening in Exodus chapter 8. Read this with me. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Now, they've already had one plague. Now it was water to blood. Changed the water to blood. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go. He says that every time, let my people go. Why does he want them to be let go? So they can worship. This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace, your bedroom, and onto your bed. Let me read that again. Your palace. See, now this is what I get when I read the Bible. I'm not the only person who gets stuff, but you might get things, and I'm going to show you how Edgar does. When I say the palace, what thought went through my mind? These frogs are even going to affect the who?
Rich.
The rich. See, that's what we get from palace, so I underline palace. Your bedroom. That's probably the quietest or most private place in your house. Guess what? Can't avoid the frogs. God's going to get the rich. God's going to get, oh, you know that closet you hide in? I'll be in the closet. I'll be in the bedroom. I'll be coming after you. And onto your bed. Into the houses of your officials and on your people. Not through yet. What else do? You love to sleep and eat, right? Well, let's go ahead and get the ovens. Into your ovens and your kneading troughs, the frogs will go up on you. It's bad enough to say, there's a frog in the bedroom. Hey, I got one on that. There's a frog on your head. You know. Okay, good. Frog on you and your people and your officials. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand on your staff over the streams, canals, ponds, and make frogs come up out of the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. And frogs came up, sure enough, covered the land. But the magicians did the same things. I've got that underlined in my Bible. The magicians work for Satan, and they're copying God. and they're trying to imitate his miracles. But what's the dumb thing about that?
They're hurting themselves.
They're doing the same thing. They make more frogs come out. Hey, look, we copied you. Are you trying to... We already had enough frogs. Y'all duplicated it. Now, we don't need any more. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. That's now we got twice as many frogs. So they also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh's sort of like this. Not that you've ever been this kind of person. But you'll say, God, I'm going to do great. And then I mess up. Lord, I'm sorry. If you'll just take this from me or help me to get through it, and I get through it. And okay. And then I'm going to forget about God. I want to ask you to raise your hand. Some people make, Russ probably tell you, some people make foxhole conversions. I'm about to die.
No, atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah, it's like suddenly, God, you have got to help me do something. And then they get back to America and God's forgotten. You know, God get me out of this trap, this hole, but then, whew. Well, Pharaoh's sort of like that. He summons Moses and Aaron and says, go get those guys. First, the water to blow. We got rid of that plague. Now the frogs. We got to get rid of the frogs. So here comes Moses and Aaron. Come in and step. Now, I want you to know this. You'll laugh at this. I've got this underlined too. Aaron did all these things. He summoned. They come before Pharaoh. Moses said to Pharaoh, verse 9. So we're going to be here. We've got to read verse 8. Moses summoned Moses and Aaron. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. You've got to do something about this. Get rid of these frogs. And I will let your people go offer sacrifices. That's going to be a lie, just like us making a promise to God. You get me out of this, I'll be better. And then we don't. But so I'm not going to pick on Pharaoh too much. I think I've done things like him. But I just thought this was so cool. Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me. When do you want these frogs gone?
Now.
When do you want your toothache fixed?
Now.
Moses said to Pharaoh, tell you what, I leave you the honor of saving the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those in the Nile. I know you're aggravated with the frogs. I know they're jumping in your kneading troughs and in your bed. I know they're jumping on you. I know your wife, Mrs. Pharaoh, is about ready to smack you because you made a dumb thing of making you trying to fight God and it ain't going to work. But hey, we're still going to be kind. We're going to get rid of the frogs. So they're probably driving you crazy. When do you want me to get rid of them? You set the time. And he says, tomorrow. Okay. Moses and Aaron are laughing going out the door. So he goes back in. Honey, I'm getting rid of the frogs. Hallelujah. I guess that's a spiritual term. His wife, you know, she's not. Are these frogs leaving? Yes, they are. Hallelujah. When they leave tomorrow morning. You mow on. Oh. We could have got rid of them right now. So they go to bed that night. Pharaoh covers up with the sheet. Mrs. Pharaoh gets in the sheets like this. And she just looks at them. Tomorrow. Probably just mumbling under her breath. But I don't pick on Pharaoh because guess what? If you've got something in your life that needs God's attention and dealing with it, guess what? We tell him sometimes. We put it off till tomorrow. God, I really need to stop this. I really need to stop drinking, cussing, smoking, looking at pornography, cussing out people, bad temper. But let me work on it tomorrow.
And tomorrow never comes.
And tomorrow never comes, and we never get a problem fixed. And God, how come you don't bless me? What did your mom? My mom, my grandma, before we ate at Giles, we'd come to the meal, and she says, you make sure you walk before you
wash your
hands. So we come to God and say, we got dirty hands. God, can you bless me? Wash your hands. Ask forgiveness. Well, can you just bless me? It's sort of hard to work through all the filth. How about you asking forgiveness? So God, I'm going to do right tomorrow. Okay, that's not even a message. I'm just going to preach all day. Passing over the plagues. Things were jumping on the first plague, and they were what?
Frogs.
Boom. Things were flying. After they got through the frogs, they went over to the next one. Gnats. Gnats were sort of like, my Bible says that might be lice. So here's the first plague, water to blood. You got these memorized. You ready? Water. This is water, maybe. Water to blood. Frogs. Lice. Flies. Can anything be more aggravating than a fly sometimes? Yeah, right up the nose. Kamikaze fly. So water to blood. Frogs. Lice, flies, Things were flying. Here we are. Zzz, flies.
Death of the cattle.
Semi from cattle.
So, water to blood. Frogs, lice, flies. Death of the cattle. Plague 6. Big old thing come out on your jaw about the size of a peach. Boils. You just want to, ooh,
right across the mirror.
We've all done that at least. One got a little pimple or something like that.
Woo! It just covers up the mirror. Wow. They hose that off. You know, it's like, golly. We just, this is it. Or you just can't leave it big. You got to pick it. You know, like, oh, boil this big. You just want to lance it or do something. And instead, it's like, I bet you everybody's looking at my boil. Yes, they are. I'm not going to lie to you. Boils, big old things, their skins just broke out. It gets worse. Skip over to this one. This is one of my favorite stews.
Just before the end, you know how the old saying, it's always what before the dawn?
Yeah, look at chapter 12. Chapter 10. Verse 21. They went through the boils and the thunder and hail and the locusts.
Now the plague of what? Verse 21, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that the darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness, it can be felt.
People went through fog before in your car and go, man, you can just,
it's so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
The tension in the room is so thick you could just, well, this is thick darkness.
You can't even see your hand right there.
Look at the difference. See if you see Jesus in this plague. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand, darkness can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. How long was Jesus in the grave?
3 days.
Isn't that odd? No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet, look at what they... Next line. All the Israelites had light. Israelites represent Christians. We Christians in a dark world have light. Lost people in a dark world belong to the kingdom of darkness.
I don't understand this. Well, that's because you don't have spiritual insight. And you won't tell yes to Jesus into your heart. I don't understand this. Ask Jesus in your heart. He's your private tutor to read the Bible from then on. Did you know that? It's called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will say, I didn't see that. See, now you do.
All the Israelites had light. And then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, all right, go worship the Lord. Even your women and your children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind. I love Moses' answer. No compromise. Moses said, nope, can't do it. Some people would have bailed right there and left. He says, no, you must allow us to have sacrifices, burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. No deal, Pharaoh. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord. Pharaoh's heart becomes hard, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you'll die. Just as you say, Moses replied. I'll never appear before you again. It's like, I won't come if you summon me.
Things were dark. Darkness. What kind of darkness?
Thick
darkness. Yeah, it's all. Things were jumping. Things were flying. Things were boiling. Things were dark. Last plague. Things were dying.
Remember the Passover? I told you a minute ago. Now we got to check out the Passover. The plague on the firstborn. I got to show you the difference between saved and lost people. But look at chapter 11. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I'm going to bring one more plague on Pharaoh and all Egypt. And after that, he'll let you go. I'm going to hit him what hurts. I'm going to take somebody from his family. We all hurt when someone in our family dies. I'm going to hit him where it hurts. You say, well, God shouldn't be so mean. Excuse me? God has given him 9 chances. And he's blew them all. Sometimes you just have to get people's attention, don't you? I'm going to get his attention this time. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. When he lets you go, you're going to favorably dispose, is what the Bible says, verse 3. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably dispose. Here, take the gold and silver. Just get out of here. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About
about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son of Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh, see there, we still get royalty, who sits on the throne, so the firstborn son of the slave girl. Rich, poor, makes no difference. Who's at the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. Look at verse 7. I just sort of smile at that, laugh, whatever. Look at the contrast. We're going to have chaos, people screaming, crying. Look at verse 7. But among the Israelites, not even a what? Dog won't even bark. Man, I don't think I'd go to sleep wrong without a dog barking somewhere. You know, just wore out if I could get dog chorus out there. One of them's on his hind legs directing the rest of them in my neighborhood. It's like, not even the dog's going to bark. I can't even have that night free here of a dog barking. When I was a little kid, we built a snowman. We went to bed that night. Everybody's going to be real quiet. And then, we had a dog named Brownie. He was brown. It's a clever name. We thought of it ourselves. We had a dog that was black, and guess what his name was?
Blackie.
Yeah. Blackie Brownie. Brownie, sit there and barked about half the night. Mom, I'm about to eat that dog. My mom never got mad at anything. We looked at her. He's barking at her snowman. He thought there was somebody in the yard. Had a little hat on him and a scarf and everything. Brownie, about to get out of the yard. Snowman never moved. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal was. If he'd just bit a hole in his leg, he could have found out that wasn't even a real barking at a snowman. Israelites, not even the dog's going to bark in your direction. Among the Israelites, not a dog will bark. Then you'll know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. A distinction between lost and saved. The distinction. We should not be like the world. Nobody say, I have to really look at you to tell whether you're a Christian. I hope not. I hope it's obvious. Then you'll know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, you and all your people will follow you. And after that, I will leave. And then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses, this is what's going to happen. Okay, remember I showed you the picture of verse 12. We finally arrived. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to make a lamb, take a lamb from his family. One for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with the nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Sheep or the goats, take care of them until the 14th day of the month when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. And then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they're to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in the water, but roast it over the fire, heads, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked in your belt. That'd be like with your coat on, your shoes on, we are ready. Your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. On that same night I will pass through Egypt. I'll strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Where do you see Jesus in that story?
He's the blood of the lamb that protects the household.
So the blood of the lamb. So we take the blood and cover our doorposts. Guarantee you had to have some neighbor somewhere going, that is so dumb. What are you doing? I'm doing what I'm told to do. How about Noah preached for 120 years and built this funny looking thing called an ark? What are you doing? Flood's going to come. Yeah, man.
Nuts.
It's never rained up to this point. Well, when they were beating on the door that God closed later, I wonder what they thought. See, Jesus is the ark that we get into and we stay safe. Jesus is the River Jordan that we can jump in and be healed. By the way, last week's story about Naaman. Did Naaman put his foot in?
No,
Naaman submerged. You know what? Jesus just saved this. Just saved it. No, Jesus, I'm yours. Picture Jesus the river. You just jump in here first, cover yourself up. So he's the ark. He's the
River Jordan. He's the, like Joseph, who, even though he's mistreated,
turned and forgave his brothers and provided for them.
So today, what is he? He's the Passover lamb. His blood was not on the doorpost, but on... It was wood. It's on the doorpost. It was on a cross, and the blood of Jesus goes on that. And he says, you look up to me, and you trust me, and my blood will cover your sins, and I'll forgive you. And if you think it's dumb or silly idea, or you don't like it, then no one's forcing you to accept Jesus. But for those who will, the Bible says, isn't there any other way? You ever think about that? Couldn't there be another way? Well, the Bible says, if there's no shedding of blood, for the remission of sins, there's got to be shedding of blood. So, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We can't be forgiven unless something dies. And God says, let me have a perfect lamb, my own son, who's never sinned. That's the only one that can. And he goes and willingly dies on the cross, and the blood goes, and we put it on our doorpost, so to speak, and we're forgiven. And at the end of time, when people are called to stand in front of God, some will sadly reject him, and they'll end up going to a place called hell. Hell's a real place. I think it teaches it. But guess what he's going to do to me? Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. He will pass over, and the judgment will pass over, just like the death angel passed over, and no Israelite was harmed. Oh, crazy idea. Yeah, it's about as crazy as saying, dear Jesus, I'm worthless. You're my Savior. Would you forgive me my sins? Make this sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. Good combination. And the world says, don't waste your time with that church stuff. Jenny always reminds me of this. She's told somebody this, a student before, that says, I just think it's a way. I think y'all might be wrong at the end. Right? Let me give you this little scenario. What if I live my life for Jesus and it turns out I'm wrong? I'm not. Let's just go. I'm wrong. Have I lost anything?
No.
But what if you never do trust him and you're wrong? Well, there's no God. I don't have to worry about it. Well, there is. So I could spend my whole life living for Jesus, and there's no eternity, no God, no heaven. I haven't wasted a thing. But if you're wrong and you are to say that there is no God and there's no eternity, you've lost everything. I think I'm doing the smartest thing. And you're doing the smartest thing. Because the fool, Psalm 14:1 says, the fool that said in his heart there is no God. There is a God. And he's going to hold you accountable. The Passover. The death angel flew over. Jesus in Jerusalem was just like this. And when that Passover lamb was killed, they ate the bitter herbs. They got ready to leave. Years later, did they know what they... You know what that event's called when Jesus died on the cross? He entered his ministry for 3 years, and every year, the Passover, he died on Passover. He was our Passover lamb. One of those people like, this is what they started in the Old Testament with Moses, and you're the Passover lamb, and we put the blood on the doorpost, only this time it's on the cross. You told us about that back in Exodus. Yeah. And by the way, these people are going to be set free. What are you when you accept Jesus? You're set free. What about my sins? They're forgotten. They're in the sea of my forgetfulness, says God. They're as far as east is to west. But I didn't. No, your sins are forgiven. I don't have to feel guilt and shame. And no, you've been set free. You're just like the Israelites. You've been set free. Walk out of this land, and I'm going to take you to where? The promised land. Where? The land of his promise. Heaven. Wow. This is us. Yeah, this is us. Do not barely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. God has ways of getting your attention. Let me ask you this. Next thing. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. What's he doing right now, this moment, this second? He's telling me about something. Okay, give him your attention. Don't tune out like a radio about half, tune in, half off. What's for lunch? What am I going to do next week? Don't do this. Right now, pretend like it's your last church service you'll ever be in. Would your reaction to what I'm saying be any different? You know, it might be. Well, it could be your last church service. I don't know. Jesus might come back and next, boom! Here he is. Jesus is back.
Some of you almost met him just now. You died of a heart attack. Right? My point is, he needs your attention. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. None of y'all ever worry, but just if you know anybody does, pass that word on to them. What am I going to do? Tease him? What am I going to do? What are you doing? God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. We would do well to listen to Paul. Consider this. So with Pharaoh, Moses told him what was going on. Matthew chapter 6 is your reference there. Moses told Pharaoh, this is what we want to do. We want you to let us go so that we may go what? Worship. That's all we're asking to do. We're not going to build an empire. We just want to go worship. And Pharaoh, you do well to listen to what I'm saying because one day God's going to hold you accountable. So Pharaoh, maybe you need to do a little bit of spiritual inventory. Do you know God? Get out of my sight. Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. But you wish you did. And I'm going to strike you with water to blood and cut off. We got to have water to drink. I'm going to take away the water to blood. I'm going to put frogs wherever you are in your life. I'm going to put you just irritant, lice. I'm going to have flies aggravate you. I'm going to have the death of the cattle. Cattle's big time. It's like having a great, nice, new car. You got cattle. Death of the cattle. Then the boils come up. And then there's thunder and hail. I raised the umbrella right there. That's how I remember that. Thunder and hail. I pick up this and eat it. What did John the Baptist eat? Honey and what? Locusts. That was the eighth plague, locusts. Ninth plague, thick darkness. Thick darkness. And then the death of the what?
Firstborn.
They're going to be set free right here. Pharaoh finally did a little bit of spiritual inventory, but even in that he lied. Y'all can go worship. And then a few people come in. You going to let them go? Just like that? You're right. Let's go after them. Okay, another lie. So he took off and, I'm going to show God what's going on. What's this? Parting of the Red Sea? Israelites go across. Come on, Pharaoh. Get right and get it. Let me just cut you up and wipe out the entire army because of your stubbornness to not accept what he says. It's not enough to lose your son. Mrs. Pharaoh loses her husband, loses other friends that are soldiers and so on. If she could tell him again, of course she can't because he's dead, she would just say, honey, you need to do what? Let it go. I'm going to tell God who's boss. God's going to win this battle. He's going to get your attention. You do a little spiritual inventory. This one's doing inventory, so I want you to do a spiritual inventory. Serious? I think so. Let's do a spiritual inventory. I want you to make absolutely positive and sure that we're not like Pharaoh and hard-hearted and just do things or ever say, all right, God, I'll do it, but then I'll renege and I don't do it. Let's do it. Consider these basic questions. I've talked to people before, and I'll, as a witnessing tool, these are good questions for witnessing too. If you say, everything about church, now you, or you can say, you ever think about spiritual matters, but if you're talking to somebody you don't know that well, where do you go to church at? See, that's non-threatening. Are you going to hell? You don't do that to people. Heaven or hell, what is it? Turn or burn. You don't do that to people. You know, there's like, and if you want to carry a Bible, carry a little Gospel of John. If that was a weapon, it would be a derringer. Derringer little thing, you know. Do not carry the family Bible. God got a plan. You're scaring me, and I am saved. You know, it's like, how about this? You ever go to church? You ever think of spiritual things? Yeah, I do. How about this? Do you ever think of Jesus? Well, to you, who is Jesus? Well, he's, give me a typical answer to my mind, so. He's the Son of God. Maybe he's a good teacher, but I guess. Okay. How about these two places? Do you ever think of heaven or hell? Ask him this question. Do you ever believe in heaven or hell? I don't think there's a hell. Okay. How about this one? If you died today, which one of those two places would you go to? Well, I'd go to hell. Would you go to hell? No. I wouldn't go there. Some people, it's scary. I actually asked a person this one time. Two things. They're sort of funny and sort of not. I said, if you died today, where would you go? And the person said, I'm not where I go. Are you sure? Yeah. Well, he's got assurance. I'm thinking he's going to say what?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what he said? Okies.
Okies.
I think a little bit past Okies. I'm
Uggies is a funeral home. It'd be like, where are you going when you die? Burslon.
Okay, so y'all could relate. Burslon Cemetery out there.
Where are you going? Funeral home?
Past that. I mean, and this other guy said something that was sort of funny, but it wasn't really. If you die today, do you know where you'd go? I know exactly where I'd go.
Hell.
Wow. You want to do something about that?
No. I won't be the only one there.
You know what I wanted to say?
You're so there's stupid. Comfort in numbers there.
Yeah. We'll all be tortured, you know.
Hell.
And he just blatantly, just blazingly, just boom, I don't care. You'll care one day.
Pharaoh, I don't care.
Oh, you will. Wait till you go in there at nighttime, give your son a kiss.
Honey? Well, Pharaoh's not moving. You know whose fault that is? His wife convictingly says what? It's yours. If you let him go, we wouldn't be in this. I got to show him who's boss. Hey, boss, you want to bury your son now? Wow. You got to just, you believe in heaven and hell? If you're to die today, which place you go? Got to be honest. How about this one? This is a tough question. Probably the toughest. If you didn't know the answers to these questions or were wrong, or would you want to know that if you weren't really correct on one of these things? What would y'all say? If you were wrong about something, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, if you went out and were driving your car and I said, wait a minute, let me make sure I check these things before you go. Check this. Here comes the picture. What are those? Those are brakes. You want your brakes checked?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Until they go out.
You're going to crash in there, go off a cliff. Something's going to go wrong. Wouldn't you want to know if your brakes didn't work? Or wouldn't you want to know if you got ready to take some medicine? I said, wait a minute. Andy's favorite movie of all time, and I like it pretty good, too. It's A Wonderful Life. You ever seen that Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie? And the little boy comes in, and what's the druggist's name, Andy?
It's
Gallon. He says, wait a minute. And Gallon's about to put, the druggist is about to put arsenic in somebody's prescription bottle. And the little boy says, you can't do that. Of course, he's crying. His son, I think, has been killed in the war. The little boy comes up and says, you can't do that. And he slaps him like that. Matter of fact, he's deaf in his ear from now, from the slap for the rest of his life. But he says, I had to stop you. And he says, you're putting poison in there. And he goes, it is. And then he gives him a hug. If you hadn't stopped me, I would have killed somebody, thinking it was okay. If you hadn't stopped me, I would have taken the wrong medicine. I would have drove a car that wasn't safe. So let's assume your answer to the last question is this. If you were really wanting to know something, if you were wrong about something, would you want to know?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to use the best book of all time. It's a bestseller right here. I want you to try to ask, what does this mean to each verse above? If I said Romans 3:23, for all is sin and come short of the glory of God. And if I said, what's that mean to you? You just take a response. You don't have to say it loud. For all is sin and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Okay, good. How about number two? Not good that we're sinners, but at least you... For the wages of sin, since we're sinners, for the wages of sin is death, but, on the other hand, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we're sinners, and the wages of sin is death, that's eternal death, hell. We're sinners, we're going to go to hell, but God offers us as an alternative, eternal life.
Okay.
I thought I could work my way there. Now, see, that's where you got to understand Jesus is the only way. How about this verse? No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Who was a man in John chapter 3 that came to Jesus and said, I don't know how to get to heaven? And that was Nicodemus. And he said, gave him the most familiar verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Well, can I enter my mother's womb a second time? No, Nicodemus, no. You're missing this. Somebody's got to be born of the water. The water, that's a spiritual birth. You know, when your water breaks, you better be getting to the hospital. You got to be born of the water and of the spirit. So you got to be born physically and born spiritually. I'm starting to understand this. So if I'm born twice, I'll die once. Because I'll die physically, but I'll be in heaven. If I'm only born once physically, I'll die twice. I'll die physically and I'll die spiritually in hell. Okay. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And I think he was. I think he asked Jesus. He came to visit Jesus by night because he was embarrassed. He didn't want anybody to know he was a Pharisee.
by the way, Nicodemus, and I think it was Joseph of Arimathea, I think those are the two that took Jesus down from the cross. He finally decided to let the world know he was a Christian. How about this verse? So we're sinners. We're going to hell if we don't change, or if Christ doesn't enter our life. We've got to be born again. There's no way around it. But I'll just do it my way. No, no. I am the way, Jesus says. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by my name except through me. There are no alternatives. You can't work your way to heaven. One way? How about this verse? I love this one. But I'm such a rotten old sinner. Well, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Well, if I could just improve, I'll be okay. You never will improve. Picture a bow and arrow, pull that out, the quiver, and we've got a target right there, and we pull this bang, bang, shoot. Here's the target, and here comes an arrow, and it goes, that's a good shot, too. All right, I know what we're for we all sin and do what? Very first verse, we fall short. We'll never get over here. Well, I'll use my best arrow, my best bow, and really pull it back. You're never going to hit the target. And then Jesus Christ comes and he says, let me forgive you of your sins. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Save me. Bullseye. It worked. That's because Christ hit the bullseye when he died on the cross. He did everything it was needed. God did his best, but God demonstrates his love for us. And while we're yet sinners, you can't improve. I'll clean my house up, and then I'll go get the maids to come in. What are you doing that for? I'll try to get better, and then I'll ask Christ. Next line. Christ died for us. Let me give you the last couple verses. After Christ died for us, about Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Picture Christ knocking on your heart's door, and all he wants you to do is open it. I like that. It's not that, Benjamin, if you'd run down to Blacksburg and you know, can you imagine this? And y'all were sitting at the Hart family house and knocking on the door. You know, Frank Beamer, what are you doing? I thought I'd come visit with the Harts. I go home, I open up the door. Jonathan Fowler standing on the porch. Jonathan, I thought I'd at least have to come talk to you. No, I'm coming to see. Well, picture Jesus, better than Frank, better than Jonathan. What are you doing? I'm knocking on your heart's door. I'd love to come in. I'd love to be your Savior. It's like, the choice is yours, though. I'm not going to kick the door down like Rangers do. I'm not going to come in and take her. I want you to invite me in. So like when you asked your wife to marry you, men, you get down on one knee and you say, would you have me? Picture Jesus sitting on one knee right here and saying, would you have me? And you walk off and leave him there on his knees. Nah, not right now. It's up to you. Behold, I stand at the door knock. I'd love to come in and take over your life. Yeah, but don't you have to have money? Don't you have to be good looking? Don't you? Whosoever in this room, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I'm calling on you. Just like in our story, from the pauper to the prince, king to the slave girl. It doesn't make any difference. We'll try to ask, what does this mean? What do these verses mean to you? Okay. You got five questions to think about. What kind of people, go back to the other one. What kind of person is this right here? I'm sinful and I can't reach God. I'm helpless. Hopeless. And I'll even try a few things. I'll do this. I'll try my good works and I'll try my religion and my philosophy, my morality. I'll be the best I can be, but I still haven't got to God. And God says, I got a better plan. How about this? Let me just try this one for you. How about I put my son Jesus Christ and he becomes a what? A bridge. Now you walk from your sinful state over to mine. Come across the bridge if you want to, purely voluntary. Isn't that cool? And it's like, put the blood on the doorpost if you want me to fly over you. Trust in me if you want to. Cross the bridge if you want to. And I give up sin, rebellion, and separation. I get forgiveness, eternal life, peace, and abundant life. Not exactly a fair trade, but I'll sure take this.
Okay. I love this. Waiting to come to the Lord when you get your life cleaned, that's like waiting to go to the ER when you stop bleeding. He doesn't love some future version of you. He loves us in our mess. He loves you right now the way you are. If I could just get a little bit better for him. That's a lie from hell. The devil will say, you just get better and then God will approve you. God approves of me right now. I'm the best. Why he would do this. Now, God the Father had a son named Jesus. And when I ask, see, John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to me that I can be called a son of God. Jesus and I are brothers. Let that resonate the next time. Say, you ain't nothing. I'm the brother of Jesus Christ and the son of God. So take that. I'm a saint. I don't feel like it always. I'm just doing by what he tells me. I'm a saint. I am a saved man. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am a child of God. Next time you feel a little low, say that to the devil. Because the devil is none of those things. The devil will never know what it's like for salvation. And I read that, and we win, and I get to be in heaven. The devil ends up in the lake of fire. Would you really want to be in the lake of fire? Quit trying to improve yourself. I just love that. He loves us in our mess. Let's say I did a great job the other day. I never sinned hardly at all. I'm just perfect. At least I felt that way. God loves me. Next day I fall 14 times and fall flat. I don't know about you. Maybe you resonate with that. You ever miss that? Guess what? God says, I love you the same as I did yesterday. You can't do that. I'm God. I do what I want to. And I love you when you do a great job. So picture the out of the park home run. Yeah, I love you, Edgar. Next day, I strike out. He says, I love you, Edgar. God, how can you do that? Because I love you in your mess. I don't care about you. If it was performance-based, you'd never get to heaven. Christianity is not performance-based. Now, I didn't say go out and sin all you want to tomorrow, but whenever we sin, we're still his child. When I used to mess up, Tyree Mosier did not go to the Richmond Board of Documents down there and take the birth certificate and get my name off. He said, you're my son. When you do a great job, you're my son. When you mess up, you're my son. God does it spiritually. So you're in a mess this week, some of you. Guess what? He loves you the same. Can't make him stop loving you. Can I give you a little quiz here as we finish this up? Got five questions on the quiz. Number one, are you a sinner? Anybody want to answer that?
Yes.
Number two, do you want forgiveness for your sin?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
I don't know, I'm still working my way to heaven. Don't do that. Let him. He's already done. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? Now look, are you a sinner? Yes. Do you want forgiveness? Yes. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? Yes. Now it gets tougher. This is a quiz. How about this one? Are you willing to surrender yourself to Christ? Now about that, don't be Pharaoh. Pharaoh never would surrender. It cost him. It cost him his life, cost him his son, it cost him aggravation through the first 9 plagues. Are you willing to surrender? Why don't you just wave the white flag and say, God, I'm yours. Enough of this. I just give up. Master Cato says Jesus Christ is like the hound of heaven. He will pursue you until he gets you. Aren't you glad he does? Because in your lowest state, in your farthest away stage of life, he still comes after you. Are you willing to surrender yourself? Yourself like I am. Last question. Are you ready to invite Jesus into your heart and life? You mean right now? Is this serious? Is it? Yeah. Can you think of a better time? Oh, I know what answer you want to give me. You want to give me Pharaoh's answer. Tomorrow. It is a pretty dumb answer. Yeah. We're not getting rid of a plague. We're putting off eternity. Are you ready? Okay. Next, set a time of reflection and prayerfully a response. picture of the good shepherd. And I don't see me in that picture over there because I was the black sheep. He had to come after down the bank to get me. You've been redeemed by the good shepherd, God. Be thankful. And let's pray. Dear Jesus, you're the good shepherd who willingly gave you life for your sheep. Some of us you had to come down over the bank to get. Some of us have asked you into our hearts when we were little kids, and then we became like a prodigal son. We wandered off from you. We just decided that we knew more than you did, or it wasn't as much fun living for you. And then we finally, like a prodigal son, we came home, and we decided to say, Jesus, I'm sorry for wasting time and wandering off. The Bible even says, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned into our own way. We want to do what we want to do. The Bible also reminds us there's a way that seems right to man, but it's a way therein is death. So, Jesus, would you forgive us for wandering off? Would you forgive us for not fully trusting you? Would you forgive us for not being as faithful to you as you are faithful to us? Lord, there might be someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, and I pray that you'd just speak to the heart as only you can. You got a voice that we can not deny, but sometimes refuse. Jesus, I don't want that to happen today. May someone say yes to you. And not wait, not know, but may they say yes. And Jesus, maybe we've just got a need in our heart that only you know about. So Lord, maybe today we take a few minutes and talk to you. Reflect on what you've talked to us about. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. I'm going to ask Andy to play a verse or two of a song, and if you sit right there and pray, that is fine. I just want to close with a song. I made mention of this. This is an altar. If you don't come up, I'm not mad at you. I'm just making this available in case you want it. Sort of like brownies or chocolate chip cookie. In case you want one, I just want to make you aware. But if you sit right there and just listen, how much do we put on the altar where we lay it on? Only were a living sacrifice. They used to have to kill lambs and sprinkle the blood and the lamb was gone. Jesus says, make your life a living sacrifice. That way we can give ourselves to Christ. So let's just listen and speak to us as we listen to a song.